This is Baseball Across the Commonwealth, taking you to the great baseball towns around the great state of Virginia. Welcome to Baseball Across the Commonwealth, a new limited series from Foul Ball Area where we take you to the great baseball towns around the great state of Virginia. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, and I thank you for tuning in to the first edition of this new series. I hope that you'll learn something as we travel across Virginia, talking with local entrepreneurs and community members, and I hope you'll enjoy this journey as much as I enjoyed putting it together. We begin our trip right in the heart of Virginia, in the capital city of Richmond. Richmond was incorporated in 1742 and has been an independent city since 1871. The city, which is settled on the fall line of the James River, was founded by planter William Byrd II, who commissioned Major William Mayo to lay out the original town grid in 1737. Both Byrd and Mayo are honored around the city with various landmarks named after them, such as Byrd Park and the Mayo Bridge. Richmond has been an influential city throughout history. St. John's Church in the Church Hill neighborhood is where Patrick Henry gave his famous "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. After the American Revolution, Richmond became an important industrial center, and with the vision of George Washington, the James River and Kanawha Canal was built, ultimately connecting the city to the Mississippi River and improving transportation and industrial needs. When Virginia seceded with the Confederacy in the Civil War, Richmond served as the capital of the Confederate States until Union forces took the city in April of 1865. In the 150 years since, the city has only continued to grow and develop. Today, Richmond is home to roughly 230,000 citizens. The higher education institutions of Virginia Commonwealth University, the University of Richmond, and Virginia Union University are all in city limits. Virginia State University is roughly 20 miles south of the city, while Randolph-Macon University is roughly 15 miles north in Ashland. The city is home to the Virginia State Capitol, the Governor's Executive Mansion, and the Virginia Supreme Court. The American Civil War Museum, the Virginia Museum of History and Culture, and the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts are all located within the city. The area has a big outdoors community, with miles of trails along the James River Park system and plenty of parks throughout the city. Richmond is also the only city in the United States with Class 4 rapids in city limits, making it popular with water sports enthusiasts. That's about all I can tell you about the city, so we're going to head downtown to the Richmond Tourism Office and talk with Director of Sports Relations J.C. Poma about what makes Richmond such a great place to visit. J.C. Poma, the Director of Sports Relations with Richmond Tourism, is joining me on the podcast now. J.C., thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Matt, for having me on to discuss one of my favorite topics, my hometown of Richmond, Virginia, and also talk a little baseball here, even though my Yankees didn't make it as far as I would have liked. It was still good to get a season in, and unfortunately, our local team, the Richmond Flying Squirrels, were not able to get a season in, and a little bit in flux right now with who their affiliate's going to be, but we're always looking forward to baseball season here in the Richmond region.
Yeah, I know baseball is big here in Richmond with the Flying Squirrels here over the past 10 years, the Richmond Braves here before them, but I want to start off just generally about the city of Richmond. And I've been asking people this. It's kind of a really broad question, so it might be hard to answer, but what is your favorite thing about Richmond?
Oh man, well, I've lived in Richmond my entire life. Can't say my entire life. When I was very young, and I don't remember other places like Georgia or West Virginia. So Richmond is my home. And I think one of the best parts about Richmond is that we have a river that flows right through the downtown. I think we may be the only capital in the U.S. that has a river flowing through their downtown, but don't quote me on that. But, you know, we are a very outdoor active region, and so I think that bodes really well for sports in our area. People like to get outside. People like to support their teams, and so the riverfront is always kind of a unique asset. We do a lot of fun, I guess you could call them throwdowns on Browns Island. There's even an event called the Throwdown on Browns Island, and just really fun outdoor stuff. The Flying Squirrels held their kickoff to All-Star Week on Browns Island last year. So the river is just a unique asset. But then I think, you know, I have to bring up the beer aspect of Richmond. We're known for kind of our craft breweries. I don't even think I can keep count anymore of how many breweries have popped up. But great beer, which bodes right into great baseball. Here in the summertime, the Squirrels take great advantage of all there's to do in Richmond and the food and beverage scene they bring to the stadium. So they're really a part of our culture in Richmond, and there's a lot to do outdoors.
Yeah, the beer aspect of the city is definitely something I wanted to talk about, and I guess we'll get right to it. Obviously, Richmond is a great beer city with all of the breweries around the city, but for people that are bigger fans of, let's say, wine or craft liquor and distilleries, what kind of options are available for people that aren't as big on beer but still want to go out for a cocktail or a glass of wine?
Oh, man, I think if you want to do that, you got to go to Scott's Edition in downtown Richmond and kind of hop around, whether it's the breweries there, there's a distillery right there, there's cideries right there. I think there's even a meadery in Scott's Edition. So there's plenty to do for everyone. Through Richmond Region Tourism, we actually just did an event out at James River Cellars, which is out on Route 1 up in the northern side of Richmond in Hanover County, and did a pimento cheese making at that winery. And it's like this little oasis right in the suburb. So there's so much to do. You've got Belle Isle Moonshine, which has kind of become a staple here in Richmond. So just so much that people can take in, you know, again, go along the riverfront over to Manchester to Legends and, you know, have a beer. So again, even if you don't like beer, there's plenty to drink and kind of experience in the Richmond region.
For people that are coming into Richmond, visiting the city for a first time, what are some of the most popular places that visitors from out of town end up going around the city?
Yeah, well, you know, Richmond Region Tourism is full of ways to promote the entire region, whether it's the beer trail that we're just talking about with beer. So you can, you know, hop around the different breweries. There's museums all over the region. We're very, very well known for museums like the Science Museum of Virginia, the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. They do such kind of great displays and interactions with both adults and kids alike. And, you know, what I work on with sports tourism, people come from all over the U.S. to participate in sports at some of the best youth amateur sports venues across the country, like River City Sportsplex. I think everyone knows that King's Dominion is one of the most popular attractions in the Richmond region. And, you know, unfortunately, they haven't been able to open this year, but we just got word they're going to open around the holiday time. With some of the occupancy limits, so it's exciting for them. So there's just so much to do. Again, the river, King's Dominion, museums, you know, hiking, trails, you know, it's just really an outdoor oasis again.
So obviously the main focus of this podcast is baseball, and I do want to talk about the Flying Squirrels a little bit. They play their home games at the Diamond. I've been there a couple of times. I like it. I know there's been talks for a long time about a new stadium. I don't know if you have any inside information on any of that in the future, but what is the current status of the Diamond and the stadium there?
Yeah, well, I don't want to speak for Parney and his team, who's kind of over in the front office at the Flying Squirrels. There's been a lot out there about a new stadium. And, you know, personally, I've, as I said, been around Richmond forever, and the Diamond's kind of like a part of my childhood. So at the point that, you know, we're able to announce a new stadium, I think it's going to be hard for a lot of people to see the Diamond go. But, you know, over the last couple of days, you've even heard, you know, rumors linking us to the Washington Nationals AAA team. You know, we've had a great partnership with the San Francisco Giants. Parney and his team are just incredible kind of assets and promoters for the Flying Squirrels. And so it'd be hard to see them go. They're a big part of our history here now. You know, having helped us host the All-Star Game, the Hot Stove Banquet every year is just a really, really cool thing. And, you know, you've seen Boach and people like that come through, and players, and, you know, whatever they do, I can promise they're going to do a first-class job. And I think it's exciting that we're moving in the direction of hopefully a new stadium and, you know, keep minor league baseball here in the market for forever.
What is your favorite aspect of going to a Flying Squirrels game?
Oh, man, I'm even a baseball player, I guess you could say. I played in college, and going to the game is almost the least of my concerns. You know, we'll meet buddies up there. We'll even have business meetings before the games. They bring in all of the craft breweries, and, you know, you can sit out there, have a meeting. If it's a noon game, sometimes we'll take clients to a meeting. So it's just really the atmosphere out there. I also go and, you know, see the VCU Rams play. My brother-in-law played for them. I'll always look back on a time in my life when I wasn't yet married, and one of my college roommates was on the Flying Squirrels, who played with me in school. So I probably went to 30 or 40 games that year to see Jarrett Parker play. You know, and I have friends who work for the Squirrel. So really, it's just like the atmosphere out there, man. I mean, again, Parney, they do such a great job of, you know, interaction and kind of take you away from the game for a little bit, bring you back in. You know, they do fireworks all year long. So, you know, baseball is kind of it in Richmond. And to have that partnership with VCU, and, you know, when it's a VCU U of R game at the Diamond or a VCU UVA game at the Diamond, man, you'll see, I remember playing there, 5,000-6,000 people for a VCU UVA game. So again, they just do such a great job of the atmosphere that, again, whether it's the, you know, the Flying Squirrels hosting the Giants AA, the Nats AAA, you know, I don't want to say I could care less, because it's all about the Flying Squirrels in that front office. So we're just excited to see them continue that legacy.
So if someone came to you and they're, again, coming to Richmond for the first time, visiting the area, the city, and they want your help to plan out what they should do during a day, and let's say the day ends with a night game at the Diamond, what would you recommend that they fill that day with?
Ooh, well, I'm first going to take them. We got so many great restaurants. I never want to call it a particular restaurant. But I think we're going to start off almost right across the street from the Diamond, eating pancakes at Moore Street Cafe. Then we're going to catch one of those morning rafting trips through Riverside Outfitters on the river. If you've taken that kind of, I think they call it the Lower James Rapid trip, you know, have class 3, class 4 rapids, and with the river level as high as it is today, actually, you'd probably see bordering on some class 5 rapids. That'll kind of get us through the lunch hour, and there's so many good lunch. God, I could go on and on about food. So, I mean, definitely got to get lunch someplace in the region. There's actually a place called Lunch. So maybe we'd go to Lunch for Lunch. And then definitely have to go over into Scott's Edition, do a brewery tour, bar hop, go to some of those arcades, whether it's, you know, even go to River City Roll. We've got so many things right in and around the Diamond that it's just so cool to end there and kind of take in a game and maybe see a prospect who's on a rehab stint hit a home run or something. So, again, it's just, you know, my favorite thing to do is rafting down the river. So I'd have to go with that.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a great day to me. I haven't done one of the rafting trips yet, but that's definitely something that I want to do. Probably next year. I might think it might be a little too cold now, but that's definitely on my list of things to do.
You can put on a wetsuit and get out there now. Might be a little cold.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But that does sound like a perfect day. That's actually some of the things that I did the first time that I came to visit Richmond a few years ago before I ended up moving here. Went to Lunch for Lunch, and it was very good. I really enjoyed it. We went to the Hoff in Scott's Edition, which isn't exactly a brewery, but serves a lot of the local beer. So a very good stop there. And then ending with the game that night at the Diamond. I mean, there's just no way you can go wrong with any of the options around that area, but really in the city, everywhere that I've been, restaurants, breweries, everything has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's just a great place to, I always say it's a great place to live, work, and play. I'm excited to raise a family here. I was raised here, and there's so much to do, kids and adults alike, throughout the region. You know, even now with the region, was Richmond Region Tourism was really excited to welcome New Kent to the region a few years ago, with Rosie's and Colonial Downs back on. You know, Colonial Heights has a baseball kind of heaven in Shepherd Stadium down there, an old kind of World War One era stadium. You know, all the way to Chesterfield, Henrico, the city, Hanover. There's just so many assets, whether it's, you know, history, historical tourism, whether it's catching a baseball game. There's just so much to do. So it's a great place to live, work, and play.
So if someone was to plan a visit to the Richmond region and they, you know, say they were here and they showed up in one of the visitor centers that you guys operate, how could you guys help them find stuff to do?
Oh man, the visitor centers are loaded with things to do. Matt Robinette on our team, who runs our visitor centers and visitor experience, I mean, they could plan out a day for you. They can give you, you know, restaurants that are ADA accessible. If you want to visit those, they can provide you, you know, maps, the museum maps, the brewery map, the brewery trail, we call it, as I said earlier. Everything you could think of is in one of those visitor centers. So definitely feel free to stop by one of those if you're listening. Get a map to, you know, go across the river, visit a brewery there, come back, go up north, But yes, definitely visit those. Check out some of all, you know, the assets that we have here in the region.
And how could people find out more about the Richmond Tourism Office?
Visit our website, which is visitrichmondva.com. There is just a wealth of information on there for visitors and our constituents alike. I mean, our constituents are sometimes some of our best tourists. And so, you know, visit there, plan a day, plan an outdoor trip. And of course, let any of us know at Richmond Region Tourism if we can help you plan a trip to the region.
All right. Well, JC, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I enjoyed it, enjoyed learning a little more about Richmond, and I hope that all the listeners really learned something and found it helpful for if they ever decide to plan a trip to the Richmond region.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Have a good one, guys.
So JC has helped us learn a little bit more about the city of Richmond, but what about the baseball team that calls Richmond home? For that, we're going to have to head back down Broad Street, take a right on Arthur Ashe Boulevard, and go down to the Diamond. Richmond is home to the Flying Squirrels, the AA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. The Squirrels have been around since 2010. Richmond had a AAA team prior to that, the Richmond Braves, for 43 years, from 1966 to 2008. The Braves moved to Gwinnett in 2009, leaving Richmond without a team for that summer. The Squirrels came in and have been providing the community with quality entertainment every year since then. And for more on Richmond's hometown team, we talk with broadcaster and director of communications, Trey Wilson.
Trey Wilson is joining me on the podcast. Trey is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Richmond Flying Squirrels and the director of communications. Trey, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing about as well as can be, given the world that we're all in right now. Matt, just patiently waiting until we have some baseball back and trying to look at the positives with everything going on. How you doing? How's everything going?
Doing well. Just trying to find some baseball stuff to keep talking about as we get into the MLB offseason. And there's still some news here and there, but trying to find some stuff to talk about. And that's how I came up with this whole idea. I'm kind of pitching this as a travel guide in podcast form for the baseball towns around the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I wanted to start with Richmond, since you work with the Flying Squirrels and you know Richmond area. Figured it'd be great to have you on. And want to get started with a pretty big question. Just what is your favorite thing about Richmond?
Oh man, there's so many. So for me, I've worked with teams all over the country. I've been in, you know, I worked with a team in Michigan, West Virginia, spent a number of years in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Virginia though. I grew up in the Tidewater area, Norfolk, Virginia Beach area. And when I had a chance to come back to Richmond, especially having been making trips here for several years while I was with the Altoona Curve and seeing the great fan base in Richmond and how packed the Diamond always is. And just, I love the city of Richmond anyway. It's a great place. There's so much history here. There are so many things to do. You're so close to so many great places. If you want to, you know, Richmond's great because you got the beach 2 hours east, you've got the mountains 2 hours west, Washington, D.C. is 2 hours north, and there's a ton of great food here. It's been really hard to not gain 50 pounds since I moved back down here to Richmond. My two favorite things to do outside of what I get to do for work, which is pretty great, but in Richmond, I love going to watch live music when we get to do that in normal times. There are a lot of great live music venues here, and there's great local music and a lot of great music from all over the country and all over the world that comes through this region quite a bit. And I love the food. There's so much great food in all the different neighborhoods of Richmond. Working at the Diamond, we're close to Scott's Addition, which is probably it's just over the overpass from where the Diamond is, and there are a ton of great restaurants right there. It's really hard to trying to pick food for lunch on a game day in the season if we have time to get out. I think whenever we are playing again next season, I'm just going to have a hat with like 30 of my favorite Richmond restaurants in it, and we're just going to pull out, and this is what we're going to go eat that day.
Yeah, we'll get to the food here in a little bit. There are certainly tons of options around the city and pretty close to the Diamond, but I want to stay on the Squirrels for a few minutes. They came to Richmond in 2010, so they've been here for 10 years now. What do they mean to the Richmond community, especially since the Richmond Braves, who were here for so long, left and Richmond was without baseball for a time? What do the Flying Squirrels mean to the Richmond community?
Yeah, you know, the Richmond Braves had been here since the 1960s and 1966 through 2009. And then, you know, the Atlanta Braves owned that franchise and then moved it down to Gwinnett County to Lawrenceville, Georgia. And for a year, there was no professional baseball in Richmond. And for the 2009 season, they didn't have it here. So when the Flying Squirrels first came in 2010, there was obviously a lot of excitement just to have baseball back. I think that there was also a good bit of skepticism over what this was going to be. The name's a little goofy. It's not typical, certainly at the time. Now, 10 years later, there's been this movement of a lot of goofy minor league names, but the Flying Squirrels name was a little bit out there for what people were used to, and there was some skepticism around that. But through the work that people in this front office have done over the last 10 years in building a community presence around Richmond, the Flying Squirrels brand and name and the faces associated with our organization, Nutsy the mascot, they have become integral parts of this community. And that's not just because we're a baseball team that hosts 70 home games every year and, you know, players come through and go on to the major leagues or wins and losses or anything like that. That's a huge part of what we do, but just as much we're a community organization. You know, we're out there in all the schools. Nutsy does appearances in the schools. We work with a ton of other programs. Our Flying Squirrels Charities does a lot of work in a number of different areas, but specifically with renovating Richmond's recreation, with renovating fields all around the Richmond area. So people over time, even the people who were hesitant early on or even skeptical or saying, you know, I'm not going to support this AA team. We're a AAA city. I'm not going to support this AA team with a goofy name. I hear from people all the time who it didn't take long for them to come around once they saw what we as an organization were about. And the amount of community support around here, especially because most of the 10 seasons the Flying Squirrels have played so far, the team has not been very good in the wins and loss column. And but riding around the Richmond area, it's hard to go out anywhere under normal times. Again, 2020 is a little different, but it's hard to go out anywhere and not see a Flying Squirrel hat or a shirt somewhere, or to not see, it's even more rare to go out and not see one of those RVA stickers with the Flying Squirrels logo on or the back of somebody's car. This team has been grasped by this community in an incredible way, and there's a lot of work that's gone into to earning that respect from the community, and it's a two-way partnership, and that I think that shows a lot of things that we do.
And for you personally, you've been around the minor leagues, worked for a couple of different teams in a few different states. What did it mean to you when you got the opportunity to come back to your home state of Virginia and start working with the Squirrels?
Yeah, it was, even the first time I got to call a game in the Diamond as a visiting broadcaster, it was just so cool to get to come back home. Working in sports, and I mean, you'll find this out more and more as you go, Matt, but certainly you've seen it now. It's so hard to really pick where you go. You go where there's an opportunity and where you want it. And when the position came open here, I really loved the job that I was in Altoona, Pennsylvania, the Pirates AA team. A great relationship with the Pirates. They have a great fan base up there, an incredible ballpark. It was really hard to leave there. But for me, my family is 2 hours east of here in Hampton Roads. My mom lives up in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. My girlfriend's family is all out in Southwest Virginia. So right in the middle of everybody. So first and foremost, having a chance to be close to family and to get to see family that for the last decade prior to coming back here, I just hardly saw. You know, I'd see them on holidays or if they came to visit. But it was hard to do that. So that, first and foremost, was the biggest thing. But the first time I went out there on opening night 2019 and as the voice of the Flying Squirrels and got to call the game in the Diamond for the home team, I mean, that's a moment that's going to be pretty hard to replicate. My two favorite moments in my career have been that moment calling my first Flying Squirrels game and calling Altoona's championship in 2017. So for me, getting to be a part of a championship and being at home, that should show you how much I cherish the chance to be at home. And everywhere I've gone, I've always sung Virginia's praises, which is why this will be fun. This series that you're doing with this podcast will be fun to talk about visiting all these different towns. I've lived in every corner of the state. I've lived in Tidewater. I've lived in Southwest Virginia. I lived in Northern Virginia, and now here in Richmond. And this state has so much around it to offer. There's so much great stuff to see. The people here are, there's such a great mix of different types of people. And for somebody with the interest that I have in music and history and food, Virginia is just such an incredible place. So all the other places I lived were great, but I always missed home. And anytime I could find some little relic of home, you know, find a find a barbecue place somewhere in Pennsylvania is not super easy to do that tastes like what the barbecue in Virginia tastes like. Now I can go anywhere. I'm back amongst my people and in a place that's very comfortable for me. And that's really hard to find in this industry.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Even for the 5 months that I lived in Washington, D.C., where I was a few miles from Virginia, even though that's Nova, I don't know if that's really Virginia, but it felt a little too far from home. But so for new fans that are coming to the Diamond, coming to a Flying Squirrels game, what is or is there a must-try food item that the Diamond offers?
Yeah, we got some new stuff that's hopefully going to be coming whenever we do start doing games again in 2021. But my favorite of what we've got, there's a bunch. There are the main staples, the squirrely fries, which are curly fries, obviously. Those are really good. You got whatever you get, you got to have them as a side. But one of my favorites is called the mac and cheese brisket ball. And it's a fried ball of dough stuffed with brisket, pulled pork, topped with barbecue sauce, and it's on a bed of squirrely fries. You get a little bit of everything there. That one's one of my favorites. We have a lot of great specialty burgers and specialty hot dogs and, of course, the normal staples and things like that. But the mac and cheese brisket ball is usually, if somebody's coming for the first time and they're asking, what should I eat? I try to hook them up with one of those or tell them to go get one of those if they can.
And for the 21 and up crowd, you guys are right next to Scott's Edition, which is home to so many great breweries in the city of Richmond. What's the beer offering like at the Diamond?
Oh, it's great. Richmond's a great beer city. And actually, my podcast, we had an episode earlier this year with Chris Ray, who is a former Major League Baseball pitcher. Orioles fans will probably remember him. He played with the Rangers and the Giants and a few other teams. Well, Chris lives in Ashland, right north of Richmond. And he runs a brewery there called Center of the Universe. It's like 8 minutes north of the Diamond, up I-95. And we have a beer with them. For years we had the Flying Squirrels beer was called Chin Music. We just retired that. And here in 2020, we dropped a new beer called Richmond Rally Cap. It's a grapefruit shanty. It's really good, especially in the summer. So we've got those, of course. That's the one that I recommend to people. I'm not a huge fan of fruity beers usually, but that one I think is really, really good. But we also have a great representation from a lot of these local breweries in the Richmond area. Hardywood has a presence in our ballpark. Hardywood's got a facility, of course, just a few blocks away from the ballpark. So they've got a bunch of their beers. And we carry anything that you're looking for. We also just added, we were supposed to have for 2020, it's out there, but it wasn't in the ballpark because we didn't have a season. But then going forward into 2021, we also partnered with New Kent Winery from New Kent, Virginia, which is probably about 30, 40 minutes east of the ballpark, down 64 over in New Kent County. And they're now doing a wine. So we have a Flying Squirrels wine called Feeling Squirrely that has been extremely popular by the people who've been able to get their hands on it so far. It's been a little bit more of a limited release because of what 2020 turned into. But once we get that in the ballpark, people are really going to enjoy that as well. So if you're not a beer drinker, definitely got to try Feeling Squirrely. Although I must caution people, be careful because it comes in a can. It's a canned wine, but it's a really good wine. But that one can is a lot more, it packs a lot more punch than one can of beer. So you got to be a little cautious when you're drinking Feeling Squirrely because you can find yourself in a little bit deeper of a situation than you might think, a little more quickly than you might be expecting.
So minor league baseball has it's tradition of making a real fan experience. It's not just about the game. It's about the environment, the atmosphere. What are some of the must-do activities at a Squirrels game or some of the promotions that they do in between innings? Because minor league teams are always great at coming up with stuff to keep fans entertained.
Yeah, that's certainly been a reputation here long before I got here. It's been something that they've been known for. It's kind of their wacky, fun, creative. It's part of the pillars of what the franchise is. Be different, be impactful, and have fun. And I think that Todd Parnell, but much better known as Parney, is our CEO. And he's been around minor league baseball for three decades now. And he's become, even with the teams that he was with before here, very well known for being a part of organizations that are very innovative on the fun, entertaining aspects of going to a ball game, where you've got the ball game, but you've also got some other things to keep you entertained. So within the ballpark, we've got usually there's live music before pretty much every game. So if you get there early, we've got a big patio, a big open space on the concourse, the main concourse behind home plate. There's usually a live band playing there. Got a bunch of beer stands right there, and enjoy some music before the game. For the kids, we've got a lot of the staples that you see for the kids in a lot of ballparks. The game where you can guess your speed with the radar gun and stuff like that. In between innings, one of the games that I think that is one of the more notable games that they play here between innings, where they bring the fans down and participate on the field, has been Hillbilly Horseshoes, which is you got a plunger set up on the field and a toilet bowl, toilet seat, a commode seat, and you toss it out there like a horseshoe and try to ring it around the plunger. So it's all a little bit out there from what you might see at some places, but you're rarely going to find anybody who leaves here after a game and hasn't had a good time and hasn't had a fun experience, whether they like baseball or not. You know, we try to put on a good show for everybody who's there for the baseball, but it's also a great place to come for just a family night out. We know that there's a balance there. There's more hardcore baseball fans that just want to go out and focus on the ball game. And I think that this is still a great place for you to come enjoy a ball game if that's what you're looking for. But if you just want a relaxing night with the ball game as a backdrop, drink a few beers and talk to your friends and see some wacky entertainment in the meantime, we've got that too.
And of course, there was no minor league season in 2020, but you guys still did a good job of keeping the fans engaged and the community involved. From the few months that I've been here in Richmond, I've followed you guys and seen the stuff that you've been doing. You had a disc golf course at the Diamond. You had the Friday night happy hours, the movie nights every weekend. I actually went to one of those. I did try the Richmond Rally Cap when they had it there, and I thought pretty good beer. It was good. I'm not really a fan of fruity beers, but it was pretty good. And especially on a hot summer day watching a ball game, it would be good. But just throughout this weird season or lack of a season, you guys have still done a really good job of keeping the community involved, and I think that's great.
Yeah, as soon as we started to catch wind that we might not play this year, immediately we had to go into, all right, what are we going to do from a financial standpoint to keep some revenue coming in? But more so, much more so, how can we be a place for people to come enjoy themselves, not think about all the craziness that's going on, and to do it in a safe way? Because with COVID being what it is, you know, you have to make sure that you're providing, if you're doing anything where people are gathering, that they're doing it in a safe way. So we had to come up with some ideas for ways that people could, that we could have people out without people having to be close to each other. The happy hours, you know, we did some of that. People could come get food and drinks and hang out up on the concourse. We had it very spaced out and kept it very clean. The disc golf was incredibly successful. You know, those events, we put the tickets on sale. They were about gone before you could blink. There was a great response to disc golf, and that was something completely new that we worked in there that turned out to be a lot of fun for the people who got to do it. The big thing for us this year were the movies. The movie nights were great. Movies in the outfield, where we had squares painted in the outfield grass, and people could come out and, you know, you buy a square and you come with whoever's in your group that you're living with, and you're far enough away from everybody else that you don't have to worry about being too close to where you might put yourself at risk. We had contactless food pickup. You had to order it on your phone. We tried to get a good mix of movies that people would enjoy. And most of those nights were great crowds. The weather got in the way a few times, just like it would during baseball season. We couldn't get away from those rainouts, but that was a really successful program, and I think that people enjoyed that a lot. What movie did you come and see? You came to a movie night?
Yeah, we came to one. My girlfriend and I did. Actually, the way our schedule worked out, the only one we were able to come see was Finding Nemo, and I think we might have been the only couple there without kids, but it was still a good time, and I enjoyed it.
Well, this year in particular, you know, you had to find, if you wanted to get out and do something, you had to maybe do something you wouldn't normally do, like, from a movie standpoint, if we were having a movie at the Diamond, obviously I was working those, so I was there anyway. But my girlfriend and I, we just wanted to get out and do something. The Goochland Drive-In Theater is out here closer to where we live. There's a drive-in movie theater here in Goochland County, and we went and saw Trolls World Tour just because we wanted to get out and go do something. I would never, under normal circumstances, have any interest in going to see that movie. Not that it's, I think it's like too kiddie or anything like that. It just doesn't fit my what I would normally probably watch and certainly go outside and go watch at a movie theater. But we had a great time. You know, we went out and did that. And, you know, there, again, that was kind of, Matt, what you're talking about there is, you know, it was the one that was available. We wanted to provide something like that for people to do. People were getting stir crazy sitting in their homes. Same thing. I enjoyed going to see Trolls World Tour. Probably wouldn't have done it under normal circumstances. And I hope that you enjoyed coming out and watching watching Finding Nemo with all the kids out there that night.
Yeah, it was funny because, I mean, we were thinking all these kids were there watching it. They could be seeing it for the first time, maybe. But that movie came out when my girlfriend and I were their age seeing it. So it was funny, but it was still a good time, and I enjoyed it.
I'm glad to hear it.
If you were planning out a day for, if you had friends or family coming to Richmond that had never been here, mm-hmm. and you had to plan out a day for them that includes a Flying Squirrels game, let's say at a night game at the end of the night, what are some of the things that you would include to do, things to do, places to eat, things to see? Just how would you plan out that day?
Yeah, it's really tough to narrow down for one day. There's so much to do in this city. Of all the cities in the Eastern League, Richmond and Portland up in Maine have by far the most that there is to do. And I don't just say that because I work for the team and live here, but when I used to come here as a visiting broadcaster, even as somebody who grew up coming to Richmond a lot, I still was finding so much new stuff to do. And it really depends on what you're into. If you want to get outside, which is especially the summer, is always great. Now it can get a little hot here, but it gets a little hot and humid on some days, and you might have a pop-up storm you got to fight and find shelter from. But there are a handful of great gardens to go walk through. Maymont is beautiful down on the southern side of the city. There's the Pipeline Walk. I don't know if Matt, if you've had a chance to do that in Richmond, but the Pipeline Walk is very interesting. Or the Flood Wall Walk on the other side of the river that gives you some great scenic views of the Richmond skyline. For people who are into history, obviously you've got museums, but if it's the summer, I want to be outside. There are a lot of great museums here too. You know, you can go walk around out at the church where Patrick Henry gave the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. You've got Hollywood Cemetery is a lot of historical value over there. There's some former presidents buried there. If you get a little bit further outside of the city itself, there are a lot of great parks. You can get out into the woods and or get down on the river somewhere. So again, there's so much to do from that standpoint, and just things to do. It depends on what you're into. And I feel like I'm leaving out a lot of great other stuff that there is to do around here too. You can go, I always tell people to go walk Carey Street in Carytown and walk through the shops and some of these great local artisans and local shops that are over there in Carytown on Carey Street. Go walk around the Capitol building, something like that. So again, there's a ton of stuff to do. From a food standpoint, that's another tough one. As I was saying before, trying to figure out where to eat every day is a hard task just because there's so many great places. Closer to the ballpark, I'm a big fan of ZZQ, great barbecue spot in Scott's Addition. It's in the summertime, there's probably going to be a line out the door, but it's worth it. Wait it out. Enjoy time talking with your friends. That line usually moves pretty quickly. So if you roll up there and you see the line's 20 people out the door, that's definitely a place worth going to check out. Incredible barbecue there. Also in Scott's Addition, lunch supper is great. There's a ton of great Southern food there. That's one of the places that I like to take people from out of town when they come in, if I have time to go grab lunch. Over on the other side of town, Alamo Barbecue, big fan of Alamo Barbecue as well. They've got great food over there. So, I would say don't eat anything before you come to Richmond, you know, just eat light for a couple of days and try and just have as much room as you can and maybe get five meals in while you're here.
Yeah. The lunch and supper is really good. That was the first place that my girlfriend took me when I came to visit her for the first time here in Richmond. Some of our favorites around the ballpark and Scott's Addition area are Ensu Boca for tacos. Mm-hmm. The Boulevard Burger and Brew is really good, and Buzz and Ned's barbecue. Haven't been to ZZQ yet, but it's on our list.
Buzz and Ned's is good. I used to walk there a lot when we'd come with Altoona because I wouldn't usually have a car. So I'd walk over the hill to Buzz and Ned's. They've been around forever. They know what they're doing there. Boulevard Burger and Brew, that's a great spot. It's an historic building too. There's a lot of history in that building there, but they've got some great creative burgers. It's a good spot for lunch. I always like going there. Insu Boca tacos right there. Again, that's close to the ballpark. Fat Dragon is right across the street from Insu Boca, which is kind of a fun fusion type of food place, fusion Chinese food place right there on Arthur Ashe Boulevard. And then even if you venture a little bit further out into the city, there's a lot of great stuff right there in Scott's Addition, but there's so many spots scattered around the Fan. And there are a bunch of great spots in the Fan. There are a bunch of great spots over Church Hill and Chaco Bottom. I haven't done it in a while, obviously, this year because it's, I haven't gone, for me, I'm not casting any judgment toward anybody who has, but I have not yet actually gone and ate at a restaurant since COVID hit. We try to support local restaurants, especially out here in Goochland County where we live. But usually when my girlfriend and I go out and eat, we get it to go. We eat it on the, if it's warm enough, we sit on the truck bed on the tailgate. when I first came back to town, one of the things that I did is somebody who, when I travel all over the place, I try and find those local food spots. I want something that tastes, that is unique to that town, that is owned locally. I try and do that. So when I first moved back to Richmond, I posted a tweet and said, send me all your food suggestions. I'm going to try and check off this whole list. And pretty quickly, I got like 60 recommendations. And I actually have a Twitter thread where I was going through and I was posting pictures of all this food and checking off these places. And I'll have to dig that up and put it back out there again. At some point, I'm going to start continuing that thread and go checking out more of these places. But right now isn't the time. If I'm going to a new place, I want to actually go there and sit down and eat and have the normal experience. And right now, I don't think that you can really do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going out and eating in the restaurants. I'm getting it to go if I'm going. So hopefully sometime in the next few months, I'll start adding to that string again. So I'm going to plug that. Follow me on Twitter, TreyWilson757. If you're coming to Richmond, I'll direct you to that thread. You can see the examples of the places that I've gone so far. And every single one of them on that list is great.
Sounds good. Yeah, looking forward to seeing that thread. Definitely are a lot of great places to eat, drink, and visit all around the city of Richmond. I love it. In the few months that I've been here already, it really feels like a home to me so far, and I've loved being here.
Yeah, this is a great city. And again, it's a great city because it's got so much for all different types of people. Whatever you're into, you know, it's a mix of a whole bunch of different types of cultures here. It's a growing city that has been changing rapidly over the last decade. Making a trip into Richmond, people reach out to me all the time. I love to try and direct them for some suggestions of things to do if they're coming in for a ball game. I couldn't even, in the time that we have here, I couldn't even scratch the surface of all the different options that there would be. And I always have a tough time trying to narrow it down to just, you know, a few hours worth of stuff. I always tell people, you might want to come for a weekend and come for a couple of days or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Trey, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. You clearly have a lot of good things to say about the city. And I hope that next year you guys are able to have a season and have fans back in the ballpark at the Diamond.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I can't wait for the day when we're back to doing what we do. And I think that all of us, whether it's fans coming out to the ballpark or people who work in it every day like I do, we're going to have a new appreciation for getting to gather and enjoy a ball game like that. And Matt, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm honored that you would think of me as a guest for this. I'm looking forward to hearing some more stories from around the rest of the Commonwealth and seeing what else people have to say about these baseball towns and all these other places. Cause I've been to most of them. I've been to most places in the state and I try to get back and see as many of them as I can. And I think that at some point I'll maybe make myself another road trip and go off some of the suggestions that you bring us.
All right. Sounds good.
Now, we've already talked about it with Trey and JC, but when you're in Richmond, you have to take in the craft beer scene. While there are plenty of options all around the city, I thought it'd be a good idea if we talked with the brewer responsible for the official beer of the Flying Squirrels. Joining me on today's episode of the podcast is Chris Ray, co-founder of Center of the Universe Brewing in Ashland. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to our conversation here. I think we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about. I want to start with your relationship with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the minor league team here in Richmond, and the Richmond Rally Cap beer that you guys brewed. I actually just tried it for the first time last week at the Diamond. I went to one of their movie nights, and I thought it was a really good beer. I don't usually like fruity beers, but how did that whole collaboration and beer come about?
Sure. Well, my background is in baseball, so I played in the league for almost 7 seasons, majority of my career in Baltimore, and then Texas, San Francisco, and Seattle. So, staying in touch with baseball once I was retired and on my way in the brewing industry, making that connection with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, just made a whole lot of sense. And even though I wasn't actively playing, I was still, a part of baseball, and that was important to me. And the Flying Squirrels do an incredible job at marketing, at community involvement, and so it was just a perfect fit. And they jumped right into local craft beer just about the time we opened in 2012. So it was just great timing. And then after one season in the books, where looking at their sales and the feedback from their fans, they wanted to jump into craft beer a little bit more, and that's when we came together and originally created a beer called Chin Music, which was a amber lager, and that went for about 6 years. And then this year we were announcing a new beer and releasing it, which is Rally Cap. Unfortunately, without a season, it kind of dampened things a little bit, but we still wanted to go through with the beer and remind folks that the Richmond Flying Squirrels are still here, regardless if they're on the field or not, and we'll certainly be back again.
I thought it was a little bit of an interesting style to have as the official beer of a baseball team. I feel like usually you associate baseball with just like a regular lager or something that's really classic and light. And this grapefruit beer was a little bit different, but it is still very refreshing. And I could see drinking it on a hot summer day, watching a baseball game.
Yeah. The Flying Squirrels and our brewery, we don't traditionally stick to norms. And so, we wanted something that just like a lager would be widely approachable to all beer drinkers, and something that would just kind of cool you off. I mean, Virginia summers get into the hundreds consistently, and we wanted something that would be nice and refreshing. And, we brewed this beer, and typically shandies are a little bit sweeter, and we really wanted to kind of stay away from that and really dry the beer out so that you had that crisp finish, but also that grapefruit on the end. So, when we were thinking about beer styles, we just kind of landed on this one, and it worked for us.
So I want to back up a little bit. You said that you played baseball. Can you just take me through your career and your journey?
Sure. I played college baseball at William & Mary up here in Virginia. That's how I got up here. And then I was drafted in 2003 to Baltimore. And then in 2005, made my debut with the Major League Club, and began closing games in 2006 and 2007. I was traded in the offseason of 2009, went to Texas, and then was traded to San Francisco. We ended up beating Texas in the World Series that year, which was kind of fun. And then finished up my career in Seattle the next year. So relief pitcher my whole career. Spent the majority, as I said, in Baltimore, and then bounced around a little bit towards the end.
So how'd you end up back here in Ashland after your playing days were over?
Sure. My wife is from here. It made sense for us, especially with the Baltimore connection, of making this our home. It's close enough to go back and forth for her. And, we like it here. You get all four seasons. I grew up in Florida, where you had like 1.25 seasons. So it was nice change of pace. And we maintained our home here the entire time during my career. This was always where we would come back to in the off season. And so it just made sense to kind of stay in the area.
So I'm pretty new to the area. I just moved to Richmond last month, and I've been to some of the breweries around, but I haven't made my way up to your guys' brewery yet. It's on my list. I want to. As a new customer, what should I expect when I come to Center of the Universe?
So right now things are obviously a little bit different, but our number one priority is safety here. So we have very strict safety guidelines, and we're kind of known for that. In the Richmond area, is that we maintain a safe space for our patrons, so that regardless of your risk level or your feelings towards the pandemic, you know, you'll feel comfortable being here. But we've got a large indoor facility with plenty of seating. And we also have an outdoor beer garden that has 14 different tables on it. And so, you know, there's a wide array of places you can sit and hide out. And then, you know, we typically have between 15 and 20 different beers on the menu when you come here. So it's a little bit, like I said, different than normal. We do table service. So once you sit down, you can just sit down and relax. Our servers will come around and get your beer orders for you. We've got Freakin' Rican, who's like our resident food provider here, with everything from, you know, Puerto Rican inspired tacos and quesadillas to, you know, traditional hot dogs and hamburgers. So it's, you know, a one-stop shop, and we have a good time.
Whenever I do make it to Center of the Universe and, you know, come into the beer garden or the tasting room, what are the, what are your flagship beers or the ones that I should definitely try?
So the one that we're most known for is Pocahontas. That's our West Coast style IPA. When we opened up back in 2012, there were just a few breweries around, and none of them were really concentrating on that that style. And so we were kind of first to market, which, you know, now looking back was just incredible that we were able to fall into that slot, because that's definitely about 40%, 50% of our volume comes from that one beer. So that's definitely a beer to try. Chameleon IPA is another one that's more on the East Coast, a little hazier IPA. We also have a Kolsch, which is our light German ale. It's always available. And then we just recently reformulated and rebranded our Ray Ray's Front Porch Sipa, which is a session IPA. That beer on a hot day is probably my favorite. It's based off the recipe that won the silver medal in the World Beer Cup in 2018 for session beer. It's just well-balanced, easy drinking, provides you with that hot punch, but doesn't kind of knock you over once you're 2 to 3 deep in there.
So you said you guys started back in 2012. Where does that put you in Richmond area breweries? Are you towards the first of the breweries to open, or around the middle?
So the first brewery to open was Legend. They're 20, maybe 22 years old now. And then Hardywood opened up about, I think, 6 to 8 months before we did. And then Midnight, as a nano brewery, opened up a couple months after them. So I think we were technically fourth in the Richmond area. I think there's 27 or 30 that are here now. So it's definitely a different atmosphere, a different climate than when we first entered into it. But it also kind of pushes us. It pushes us to innovate and perfect our craft. And, you know, as a former athlete, I mean, that's what I'm driven to do. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of good beer in Richmond.
Being in the town of Ashland, a little bit outside of Richmond, how does that change your approach to marketing or trying to reach your audience when there are so many breweries just in the Scott's Addition neighborhood right here in Richmond, all within a 5-minute walk of each other, and then you guys are just a little bit of a drive?
Sure. I mean, it's a definitely a different feel out here than in places like Scott's Addition, but I kind of like where we are. You know, we kind of concentrate our charitable efforts and our giving to those organizations in Hanover County. There's two breweries in Hanover County, us and Origin, which Origin is our research and development brewery. So it's nice to kind of, you know, I don't want to say own the territory, but, you know, we don't have any competitors. We still sell a ton of beer down in Richmond. We get a lot of folks from Richmond that will come right up or right off the interstate. And we found that, you know, beer tourism is a real thing. And when people come from Northern Virginia, we're usually the stop that they make on the way in or the stop they make on the way out. So, you know, positioning wise, you know, we really enjoy where we are. Now, granted, we don't have that foot traffic. You know, we're in an industrial park. People don't go on Saturday or Sunday drives to an industrial park. It's not the most beautiful place in the world. But we do see our fair share of folks that come in from Richmond.
So I know the relationship with alcohol and college athletics is a little trickier, but a lot of college athletic programs are starting to sell beer and wine at their sporting events. You guys are in Ashland, obviously Randolph-Macon is there, and then there's two big universities here in Richmond. Have you looked into partnering with any of them at all, or is that something that you kind of steer away from, the college athletics side?
We've had beer at Randolph-Macon when they do their large tailgates and then bring a truck out. We've worked with them. They've been great. We've had our product at VCU a few times. Ever since they remodeled it, it is quite expensive to play in that arena. So we stay away from that aspect of it. But University of Richmond, they typically will do a couple breweries out there for their tailgates. So you know, we get in when we can, but again, you know, we don't have the finances that a big company like AB InBev has to buy their way into places like the Siegel Center.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the podcast. I really appreciate it. I'll be making my way up to Center of the Universe sometime soon. I look forward to it.
Right on. Well, thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Thanks to Chris Ray for joining us and telling us a little bit about Center of the Universe Brewing. The brewery is certainly worth a visit, and although it's outside the city, it's a short 15-minute drive. However, if you prefer to stay close to the ballpark leading up to the night's game, you have plenty of options. The Scott's Addition neighborhood is home to 10 breweries, 3 cideries, 1 meadery, and 4 distilleries. These include award-winning breweries such as Hardywood, Ardent, The Vale, Bingo Beer Company, and plenty more. Charlottesville-based Three Notched and Star Hill also have tap rooms open in the neighborhood, so the possibilities really are endless. Or if you want to travel a little further downtown or across the river, you have even more options such as Triple Crossing or Legend, which is the oldest brewery in the city of Richmond. You can't go wrong with any of these choices. Just make sure to do your research and figure out where you want to go so you can plan out a perfect day in Richmond and end the night with a game at the Diamond. That's all we have for our episode on Richmond. I hope you guys learned something, and I hope you're a little more prepared whenever you decide to plan out a visit to the state capital. I hope you'll join us next time as we take a trip west on Interstate 64 up to the beautiful city of Charlottesville to visit with the Charlottesville Tom Sox of the Valley Baseball League and some of the local brewers in the area. For now, in Richmond, I'm Matthew Atkins for Baseball Across the Commonwealth.